Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and listen up, everybody. The Brian Lehrer Show is throwing a State of the Union party. The speech is on Tuesday, and you're invited to come and watch with me in the green space. Our producers will be there, along with special guests and the bloggers from our politics website. It's freecountry.org. There will be comedy, there will be bingo, and yes, we've ordered a life-size cardboard cutout of the president for you to take your picture with. So come drink our beer and watch the State of the Union with me on Tuesday. Tickets are $15, and you can order them now at thegreenspace.org, thegreenspace.org. Doors open at 7:30 Tuesday night. Now we'll open up the phones on the emotional side of the revolution in Tunisia. As I said, we've been talking a lot about the facts of the dramatic events there and the hopes and dangers and uncertainties, but I'm not sure most Americans get the euphoria that this is being met with, both in Tunisia itself and among many people in other Arab countries and in the Arab diaspora around the world. So this call-in is for any Arab American or Arab immigrant with our phone number at hand, 212-433-WNYC, on how the Jasmine Revolution in Tunisia is making you feel. Here's a perfect example. This is Egyptian-American journalist Mona El-Tahawi. I interviewed her Wednesday night on CUNY TV, and she burst out with this right at the beginning of our talk.
I'm absolutely ecstatic. This is one of the happiest moments of my life. I mean, I never ever imagined, I'm 43 years old, I never ever imagined that in my lifetime I would see an Arab leader toppled by his own people. So this has been unbelievably energizing and exhilarating.
I'm absolutely ecstatic. This is one of the best moments of my life. Mona El-Tahawi, Egyptian-American who writes for Time Magazine and The Washington Post, among other things. If there's time, I'll read some of what she wrote about this in The Guardian this week. Do you feel like she does? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. David in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Thanks a lot for calling in.
Hello, thank you for having me. I really enjoy listening to your show.
Thanks a lot. So what are you thinking? You're watching Tunisia closely? You're reacting emotionally?
I'm listening to the reactions, the emotional reactions of other people. And in many ways, it does remind me of the euphoria that people after communism in 1989, 1990 were feeling. If maybe communism was the ideology, this sort of authoritarianism in the Arab world is sort of the other ideology, and it's very refreshing. I feel like it's 1989 again.
You're originally, you said, from a mixed family, part Lebanese?
Yes, that's correct.
And just the opposite seems to be going on in Lebanon right now, or some kind of disintegration. Are you watching that closely and having an opposite response?
Of course, we follow it very closely. However, there's this. The country is in constant disintegration, just in different forms. It kind of goes back and forth between stabilization and disintegration. But it doesn't make it any less exciting and refreshing to finally watch a country in the region, if you will, to.
Yes.
After so many decades of an authoritarian ruler, to finally have a movement that is also secular and, if I may say, also very much Western, and the values are different. Mm-hmm. This is not an Islamic revolution,
right.
Thankfully.
David, thank you. And that certainly seems to be true. Shafiq in Secaucus, you're on WNYC. Shafiq, thanks a lot for calling in.
Oh, thank you for taking my call, Brian.
What kind of a moment is this for you?
It's a big moment. I just want to recognize that this is the first cyber revolution in the history. Because of the crackdown of the police in Tunisia, people couldn't do anything publicly. So everything was done by emails. We have to just acknowledge that fact. And this is a big lesson for other Arabic countries or any other people that are under dictatorship, the internet is the new tool for freedom.
You're originally from Morocco. What's it like there? What's the governance like there?
The government in Morocco, we have a king with the elected parliament, and the prime minister of Morocco is elected, is chosen from the political party with most votes in the parliament.
So Morocco is near Tunisia. Could this spread in some way to Morocco? Would you like to see it?
It's not the same condition as Tunisia. Morocco is doing a lot better since the new king, since 2000. Mm-hmm. And the public liberties are more gaining some freedom. Mm-hmm. It's not the same thing, but I can see something like that happened more in Egypt or in Libya.
Thank you very much, Shafiq. I really appreciate it. Let's go to, and he mentioned Egypt, Zarek in Westchester. Zarek, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, hi, good morning. I really love your show as well.
Thank you very much.
And I do agree with Shafiq when you were saying that I think this is like a wake-up movement for other Arab countries to look at and to see that you really can't choose their leader, just not someone who gets there and then stay there for like 30 years. I don't think it's a good idea.
You're originally from Egypt, right?
That's correct.
And there seems to be so much focus on Egypt as, you know, the country where the contagion is the most likely, or maybe people are just, you know, projecting that it's the most desired there. Certainly, at least one Egyptian has also set himself on fire, as the person in Tunisia did that helped to trigger this. The president of Egypt, Hosni Mubarak, seemed to be trying to downplay the pro-democracy aspects of this at the Arab summit the other day, emphasizing the economic aspects of the change in Tunisia. So do you think this is very relevant to Egypt?
I will say yes. I've been living here for a long period of time, but every time that I go visit, things that sometimes get in like there is some improvement, but there is a lot of things need to be changed as well.
Thank you very much for your call. You. And Sonia in Westfield, originally from Tunisia, right, Sonia?
Yes, right. Good morning.
Good morning to you. How are you feeling right now?
I'm extremely happy. I can never tell you how. I am the first to cry right now because this is something huge for our country and for the Arab people. I was with my family 2 weeks ago in Tunisia for the holidays. We spent 2 weeks ago, and we were surprised. I mean, it was a country that was waiting to explode. They were waiting to explode. I mean, people, they start talking. They are not scared anymore. They are not scared.
Where do you think it's going to wind up? There's still so much uncertainty. Will it wind up in a democratic government?
I hope so, and I probably yes, because now what is leading is the people. People, they don't want to be quiet anymore. People, they are tired from being dictated, and now the government is scared of them. The only thing, all this 23 year of dictatorship left a political void, and we need to work together. To have a democratic country is not going to be easy, but we will try our best to have it.
Thank you very much, and good luck to all the people
thank
of Tunisia.
You.
Sonia,
thank
you for calling in. By the way, I said I'd read a little more, if I could, from the Mona El-Tahawi Guardian article that came out this week on Monday on the op-ed, and she's from Egypt. And she writes, if every Arab leader has watched Tunisia in fear, then every Arab citizen has watched in hope, because it was neither Islamists, long used by our leaders to scare many into acquiescence, nor foreign troops that toppled the dictator. It was ordinary and very fed up people, writes Mona El-Tahawi, originally from Egypt, in The Guardian. Osama, originally from Syria, in Paterson. Thanks so much for calling in.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. How you doing? What do you think about all this? How do you feel about all this?
I feel great. I feel like, you know what, it's time. You know, it's time for the Arabic leaders in the Middle East to wake up, you know, and stop, you know, dictating and, you know, and being so selfish. You know, it's like it seems like when they become president, they take power and they want to stay in power for 30, 40 years. And I think there should be a, you know, a term like we have here in the United States, you know, a four-year term. And if, you know, maybe a possibly another four-year term, and that's it. Like not a 30, 40-year term, because, you know, they become dictators, you know, and it's not fair. You know, it's not fair for the people. And, you know, the Middle East, I think, is not getting a fair break. You know, I think America, the United States should treat it, give it, you know, get treated a little bit better. You know, maybe then relationships will be better. You know, they're not getting a fair break, you know.
There are certainly embarrassments here for the United States. The United States supported the dictator Ben Ali in Tunisia for a long, long time because he was seen as Western friendly. The same thing with the U.S.'s relationship with Egypt, with Saudi Arabia. Syria, on the other hand, where you're from, is a place where the United States likes to criticize the undemocratic rulers. What do you see as the path to change in Syria, if anything?
Well, I think the path to change is, you know, for the United States to, you know, treat them just like you treat, like, Jordan and treat Egypt and, you know, and stop, you know, their, you know, labeling certain countries. You know, certain countries are labeled as terrorist countries. Certain countries are, it's not fair. Mm. I mean,
but that's the U.S. policy question. I'm asking, what's the path to change, maybe without U.S. involvement, in Syria?
I think the path to change is for for the people to start waking up and getting a presidential term, you know, every 4 years, and, you know, instead of this 30, 40 years president, you know, in power.
Osama, thank you very much. And thanks to all of you for calling in. Obviously, there is so much emotion and hope and desire among people all over the Arab world, as is being written, and in the city of New York with so many Arab Americans from all over. So great to hear many of you calling in and giving voice to some of the emotions of this moment. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Michelle Obama has been praising Walmart for its new policy of encouraging healthier foods. Michelle Obama, we will play a clip of her yesterday. And if it's good enough for Michelle Obama, should it be good enough for New York, which has so far locked Walmart out? We will talk to a Walmart official coming up in a minute.